As everybody knows, there have been some changes going on at Good Dog, and it's really transparency is really important. And so, what I would like to do before we start talking about our breeder to breeder things that are really important to us, I wanted to give Kat the time she needs on the floor to answer any questions and to give her direction for what's going to be happening next, so that nobody is confused, that they have an email they can send to. I think that clarity and transparency is really important. And so I'm turning the floor over to Kat.
Thank you so much, Susan. And we absolutely agree. Some of you may have heard about this already. If you have, I apologize that you didn't hear about it from us first or sooner. It's hard to get all the messages out there at the same time. But we are going through some changes here at Good Dog, as I think. As I think many of you know and are aware of and are hopefully also taking advantage of, we have been just so incredibly beyond excited over the past few months in terms of what we've been able to do with respect to launching Your Litter A to Z to our community and being able to offer that free of charge to the breeders in our community. That's kind of really core to our mission and, supporting dog breeders, which is the very reason that we were founded as an organization, and also helping to improve the standards and the lives of dogs by helping breeders have access to amazing, amazing education, thanks to Gail Watkins and Susan and Laura and amazing, breeder experts. And so we're super excited to be continuing now. This is just the beginning, Your Litter A to Z, many more courses, much more curriculum that we're excited to share with all of you. And now that we've kind of, the integration with Avidag, we've got, this amazing Quirks curriculum and university to share with breeders and buyers in our community as well, knock on wood soon. And so while we're kind of, positioned to do that, Gail, who I think all of you know, I don't have enough time to list all of her kind of amazing credentials and successful career, similar to Susan, same problem with both of them. But Gail's excited to kind of be stepping back and stepping down, focusing on getting to be a breeder again. And we're really, really excited to kind of be able to focus on, getting more of her critical education and curriculum out there and kind of working to, still have an enormous impact on the dog world while she gets to breed. We're equally disappointed and selfishly sad to have Laura Reeves and Susan Patterson, our host of today's call, stepping down as well at the end of this month. We're just so enormously, I mean, there are no words to describe our gratitude to Susan, Gail, and Laura, and also to even come close to describing the magnitude of impact that they've had at Good Dog and will continue to have at Good Dog and hopefully still, be sending us emails and staying in touch and helping us, continue to do what we set out to do, which is build a better world for our dogs and the people who love them. By supporting dog breeders and by, working to change the conversation and provide as much support, resources, advocacy. Got a couple lawyers on the call here for all of you. So nothing changing from the perspective of what's going on at Good Dog, except for the fact that we will very sorely miss our amazing advisors, Susan, Gail, and Laura, but are excited to kind of, continue to support fellow amazing good forces, great forces in the dog world, and truly, some of the absolute, absolute very, very best breeders in the world. So we hope to continue learning from you. And well, everybody should expect to, we'll be sending out an email, a newsletter that kind of just, lets folks know about those changes, what it means for all of you. You're still going to get access to all of the course content. If anything, there'll be more to come. We'll follow up with details around kind of some more details around the transition for things like, these coaching calls and what will happen with those. So keep an eye out for that. But otherwise, you should get an email, maybe even already today in your inbox, just kind of letting folks know about those changes. So thank you for letting me steal a few minutes at the beginning of your call.
So I just have one quick thing. If they have any questions, can they send an email to info@gooddog.com? Or should they go to their breeder, good dog breeder specialist that they have a relationship with? Where do you suggest, if they have questions, they go? Because I don't want to take up time here with their questions. I'd rather it go directly that way. Which would be a better path for them?
Absolutely. So, you know, you've got a lot of different channels. We want you to be able to reach out any which way. Please always feel free to reach out to me directly, cat@gooddog.com. Monica is also on this call, monica@gooddog.com, or help@gooddog.com. Thank you, Nicole. Or info or breeder team at gooddog.com, or your personal good dog specialist. Truly, you know, any which way, reach out to us. We've been a bit busy over here, so if we don't get back as quickly as we usually do, I sincerely apologize, but I promise you we will. And, you know, I think we're on a day and a half instead of a within a day timeline to getting back to folks. So thank you, Susan. And thank you, everybody.
You're welcome, Kat. And I've got my first question here to start with, but I really, you are appreciated, and you'll be missed.
You too, Susan. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Let's see. My first question is from Mary Livingston. I think she's got her hand raised, and if we can unmute Mary. She said Fanny spotted October 15th and 17th and cleaned up, and her progesterone has been at less than 0.2. No movement on cytology. The male was interested, but not at all anymore. Mary, can you?
Hi,
where are you?
Hi. Fanny, she, a typical time span, was just a week shy of a year since her previous heat. She did have a litter of puppies in January, but she started with just the little light pinkish brown spotting. And by Sunday, I mean, it was dark, really strong. And then Monday, nothing. She had her repro visit on Tuesday, the 19th, and there was very minimal red blood cells on her cytology that day. The text said that the vagina looked like she was, you know, in proestrus. She had typical vaginal fold changes, but her progesterone was less than 0.2. We did, I pulled serum on Thursday and overnighted it to the repro vet. So we would be reading on the same machine again, not even measurable. And her cytology was just full parabasal, no changes at all. And come into this week, Monday, check cytology again. Again, we've got zero change. Her discharge has completely cleared up. The experienced male we have in the household was really sniffing when she first started to spot, and now is like, whatever, you know. Yeah, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It's just, and it's not like,
so you were planning on breeding her this cycle?
Yes, we were.
She
going
has to, had a successful litter before.
She's had, yes, okay. She has had successful litters. Okay. And because she's really good with TCI, we were going to be taking her to frozen this time. So we've really been watching closely.
Of course, because we have big plans.
Right. So. And I'm like watching for any cytology changes, because I'll start saving serum every single day so we can catch LH. And, you know, I've had bitches kind of spot for a long time and not really ramp up, but this is the first. I mean, it's like a big head fake. Made you look.
Yeah. I just had that with a girl that I actually just whelped last week. She did a head fake in the beginning of June, mm-hmm. and we got all the way up to one.
Oh.
And then she went, oh, no, not going to do that. And then she came back in again the end of August. So sometimes the hormones are like, I think I'm going to, you know, the little train maybe that could. No, I can't. So rather than really worry about it, I would simply watch her. Do you have the ability to do any vaginal cytology yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing, I do the cytology, and then I'm 3 hours from my repro vet.
Yeah, so that is a challenge.
Yeah, I do the cytology. I emailed it to them this morning. Let me see if I have any changes. We agreed on Monday that there was no need to do another right. progesterone because we were just the most beautiful pair of basal cells
right.
you can even imagine, and not even a hint of anything different. and he agreed there was no need to pull a progesterone. I sent today's cytology, and I didn't know if it would be worth, you know, driving her down in the next couple of days for a visit.
Candidly, I wouldn't waste your time. If this was my girl,
Because it's an 8-hour trip when I go right. to the repro vet. Yes.
That's right. And you also have an intact male who's going to start telling you that things are going to ramp up. I wouldn't qualify this. Jennifer Sinclair asked if I'd qualify this as a split heat. I would not.
No, because there's no LH.
Split heat, for my definition, I go all the way up to ovulation, but never hit ovulation. There right. is no ovulation.
Like,
and then they drop back down. Right. You hang at about 4, or I've actually had girls hang at 7 and not ovulate and then drop back down. That to me is, and then 4 months later, they come in. This is what I would call a false start. I would think that she's going to be coming back in within the next 8 weeks. That would be my guess, based on the fact that, from what you said, she's been really regular before.
Of course.
And that makes a difference.
How are you doing?
Who do we have who's not muted? Can we mute Molly?
Molly, yeah.
Oh, Molly. Thank you.
And one of the things I wondered about, that Sunday night, we had our son arrived with his dog, who's 2.5 years old, who's actually a daughter of Fanny. And I wondered if just having that disruption in the household, or you know, this could be one of those things.
Anything could be, but I would suspect it's one of those things, because the hormones are really, they want to keep going and they want to be on the cycle. And this wasn't a traumatic event. You know, it was an excitable event, but not traumatic. So I would simply, you know, we're not worried about doing any more cytology, because if she's not coming in, the cytology could be painful for her.
Yeah.
If you want to be OCD.
Cytology's been real easy to do. I've been surprised at how.
That's good, because, you know, sometimes it's not. I mean, if you wanted to be OCD, which I have been known to be, I might draw blood once a week just because. I'm supporting my local vet, but otherwise I would allow, you know, her to just come into season.
Yeah. And I have the ability to draw blood here in the morning and spin it down and store it. I don't even have to go in and bug anybody to do that.
Yeah.
What is different, I've had girls have a prolonged proestrus
where
they spot continually, and it's like they start to have movement and then they get right up to estrus, but just hang at late proestrus for about 30 days before she actually crested over. But this is different. It's like it's just disappeared.
It's a false start. You know, they're gonna blow the whistle on her and, you know, redo the play.
I guess I need to just look at my schedule and see what I had planned, because that's when it's going to happen.
Is it, you know, I always say they are called bitches for a reason. You know, my girls look at me and say, oh, you were going to go on vacation. Not now. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's see. Stephanie had a question about flea and tick prevention. Let's see. Both for raising healthy bitches during pregnancy and nursing. You want to unmute Stephanie Wagner? Where is she?
Stephanie, can you talk? Can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Stephanie?
Do you see me?
I see you. There she is.
There we go.
I saw you peering over the screen before. I was like, okay.
So I'm super new. I haven't had a litter yet. I'm raising two puppies now to breed. And I hear so many conflicting opinions about what to do about flea and tick preventatives and heartworm preventatives, both before and during pregnancy and nursing.
Okay. So my biggest thing is everybody lives in a different parasite area. Yeah. So what would be really a sturdy protocol for me might not be necessary for you. I live on property that has Giardia, Coccidia. However, I don't have as many ticks, but I do have fleas. Now I'm in the New England area.
Yes.
So that's interesting for me. So I have worked with my repro vet and we have come up with a protocol that works specifically for me all the way up to breeding. And then I kind of back it off a little during breeding and then pick it back up again once we have determined that she is pregnant and we're past that first critical 28 days. But my suggestion there is to definitely not do it. You know, don't stay away from it. But there are products that are safer that your veterinarian can recommend to you to do that, because Bartonella, Lyme disease, all these wonderful things are just no fun, and they can impact fertility. So you want to keep your puppies protected. You want to keep them parasite free and healthy while you're growing them out, because Lord knows there's enough stuff that can happen in the meantime besides parasites. But I would definitely work with your vet to create a protocol specific to your area, because what I do and what someone in Arizona does is totally different. So that's where relying on your veterinarian is a good thing.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome. Let's see.
Susan, we had a question from Starlet. Did you see that one about the whelping window?
Oh, nope.
Just a little above.
Let's go back up. You want to unmute Starlet and let's see what we got.
Hello.
Hey, Starlet. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
What is your breed?
Australian Labradoodle.
Okay.
It's our second litter.
All right.
We missed the last breeding. We had for some reason, it didn't work out.
Sometimes they don't.
Right. So on day 11, she was 7.7.
Okay.
So we're a guardian home, but I whelp the puppies for the guardian home. So, for the breeder. So she day 13, 14, and 15. So I was just kind of trying to narrow down my whelping window, because on the 13th, she had a slip tie and
that can still work. So basically if I was guessing, looking at the numbers you have, I would suspect that she ovulated. You didn't draw any more progesterone, right?
No, she didn't.
Okay. So I usually draw more. And the reason I draw more is because I want to see that progesterone above 10 and hopefully above 20, because I want to make sure that the bitch can maintain a pregnancy. And those numbers tell me that she is not only ovulated, but she's hopefully going to retain the progesterone numbers to retain the pregnancy. But just guessing on the two numbers, I'm going to say she probably ovulated early in the day on October 20th. So I would be going 63 to 65 days from October 20th.
Okay.
That would be my whelping window if she was my puppy. Know that if she has a big litter, she may go a little earlier. Mm-hmm. My girl had what her whelping, you know, window was Wednesday to Saturday, and she did have a big litter for her. She had 8 and she did go on Wednesday. So be prepared, you know, based on litter size for her to go maybe a little early if it's a big litter.
Well, the first litter she had was 11 with one breeding.
Yep.
And she went at day 59.
And that's not unusual. That's well within the whelping window. And I'm sure you've done this before. You're prepared with all the tools that you need for your puppies for in case they come a little early. And good luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's see. Then we go to
Susan Franklin.
Hi.
Hey, Susan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a fairly new breeder. This will be my third litter.
What's your breed?
Australian Labradoodles as well.
Okay.
And the last two times I've had to do three progesterone tests before we were at that sweet spot.
And I'm so jealous. I've had to do 10.
Oh, really?
I support my local vet. Yes, I do.
My question was, how can I plan not to do so many? Cause I mean, money doesn't grow on trees and I'm new and, you know, it's expensive starting out. And, if I have to do like four or five, I will, but I was wondering if she's at a 0.8, do I wait 3 or 4 days? Do I do 2 days? What's your recommendation?
So have you ever done any vaginal cytology yourself? Do you own a microscope?
No.
Okay. So one of the things that, I'm old and we'll just start there. I used to, when I was first breeding, that's all we ever did was vaginal cytology. And there is a great LSU. Let's see if I can find, Nicole, can you find the cytology piece and post it up in the chat?
Yes. Who is it by?
Pardon me?
Who was it by?
LSU Therio cytology, and it's vaginal cytology, and it's a kind of a pictorial, and then it gives you pictures of what you're seeing under the screen. Anyways, but I'll talk to it in the meantime. So that is a good way to look and see. So you can see if the cells cornify. And they kind of look like cornflakes, for lack of a better word. You can tell kind of where your bitch is at, and then you can go in for a progesterone, knowing that she's reaching that next phase. So if you need to conserve on your funds for breeding, you're still being accurate, but mm-hmm. you're not doing the progesterone. But progesterone still is the gold standard. So I personally have an account at MSU, where I run my progesterone. My vet and I have partnered so that I can run it there. And so my progesterone tests are done in collaboration with my veterinarian, but I hold the account. And so it still costs. There are other labs. BET is a lab. I'm trying to think of other hospitals that do it and other vet labs. Okay. You might consider that. But I would... Nicole posted to everybody the link on doing vaginal cytology. I would definitely look at that, invest in a $300 microscope because it will pay for itself in the first breeding.
Okay. Thank
you. Does that help?
Yes, it does. It does.
Are you able to draw blood?
No.
So that's the next thing. You need to work with your veterinarian or your vet tech and have them teach you how to draw blood and how to set a tube. It can either be done by gravity where you set it and the serum will rise to the top and then you can test the serum. You can actually do a color test. There are two color tests. One is called Premate and the other is called Target. And those two can get you reading very close on the colors to then go to a number, which is the gold standard, but it requires you to acquire some other skill sets, but it will help you do that.
And the vet won't mind teaching how to do that.
This is where I will tell you, having a veterinarian who is your partner, I'm not taking business away from him. I am trying to make my work with him very efficient.
Okay.
So I'm not... I'm working with my vet who is a repro vet up in New Hampshire. And so we do this together and he knows that I do it. I share all my results. I'm, everything is very open there.
Okay.
So it's a working relationship. I've never claimed to be a vet, no matter how many Holiday Inns I've stayed at. but I do a lot of the background work because when I raise my hand to my vet and say, I have a problem, he knows it's a real problem. And he also knows that we do feedback back and forth.
It's particularly a challenge because there is a lack of repo vets in my area. And so I have to drive quite a ways, either north or south.
Where are you located?
Indianapolis area. You would think there'd be plenty, but there's not.
So I would suggest you go on to the Theriogenology website. I'm going to ask Nicole to link it. And they have by state the repro vets who are theriogenologists.
Okay.
And they work with breeders and they're fabulous. The listing will give you by state. Nicole just posted the link.
Thank you.
And there is another group on Facebook called Breeder Friendly Reproductive Vets.
That I just recently joined that. There you go.
That's okay. Great. Stephanie Wagner asked for the name of my repro vet. It is Broadview. And the vet's name is Dr. Dan Kelleher. And please tell him I sent you because I think he's the bomb. He's a young vet. He is committed to working with breeders. And he's great. And Jennifer has a suggestion for you, Suzanne, with Peewee Valley in Louisville.
Okay, I see that. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, we've got... Let's see. Are you happy, Stephanie? Did you catch the name of the repro vet? Just want to make sure I'm looking at the questions.
I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Feel free to, ask him any questions. He's just great. I think the world of him. Let's see. Nicole has a question. Pros and cons of ultrasound.
Yes,
Nicole.
I am here.
Hey, Nicole. Oh, I love your picture.
Oh, thank you.
Shiloh Shepherd?
She's a Treviran.
Treviran. Okay. It was the picture I'm looking at trying to ID dog. So
that's our girl.
She's adorable. So
Jay's here. Jay, do you want to ask the question a little more clearly?
Yeah. Are we able to hit the camera thingy or are we not really able to?
It doesn't matter. I can hear your voice.
I'm here.
Okay. So did you by chance get a chance to read the little notes?
So what you asked about was pros and cons of doing an ultrasound to verify pregnancy in terms of health consequences to puppy the bitches may be carrying.
Yeah. And so we read some of the Avidog paper citations and the various little pieces of information linked to the site.
Yep.
And sounded like there were some potentially significant issues to evaluate in terms of whether the juice is worth the squeeze on that kind of an exposure for such a tiny life form, where it's not really the same as the mother with the biomass to handle that. And so we're just kind of curious if an overreaction on our part to be concerned about that, or if it's like bona fide.
Well, I will tell you my personal view, and I think it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I do not ultrasound. I instead, I draw my own blood. I have invested in the Witness Relaxin tests to define pregnancy, but I also wait. I wait until day 30 to 32 to do the Witness Relaxin. That measures relaxin in the blood. I don't have to stress my dog about going to a vet. We do it at home and it's done. There's pros and cons to that too, because if there's a small litter, one or two puppies, there are false negatives. There are never false positives. But it's still my go-to, because even when you do an ultrasound, even at day 21 or 28, they can still resorb.
Right.
So I have just come to the old dog breeder conclusion that you're either pregnant or you're not. I really don't care other than I've blocked out this period of time. I've done the best I can to get you pregnant. I do want to know if you are, because that does change my nutritional protocol. But I do rely on the witness relaxant tests. I buy the kits in batches of five, which range anywhere from $140 to $189 for five tests. And to me, it's worth it. I also used to do x-rays, and I don't do x-rays anymore. Everybody wants a lot of information, but sometimes how we get the information can be detrimental to the puppies and to the bitch out of stress. Right. So I have become pretty adept at my, you can link to Revival's Witness Relaxin, they can see it. Using, my daughter is a nurse practitioner, and for Christmas a few years ago, my gift from her was a really good stethoscope. So I count heartbeats. I can tell you with almost 99% success rate, whether we've whelped everybody out or not. I will tell you that 2 years ago, I had a surprise. I thought we were only expecting two. Based on heartbeat counts, we had our two, fed her, put her in the whelping box, and I was 27 hours later vacuuming around my room, getting everything cleaned up when I heard a cry. We initially had Thelma and Louise, and number three, aptly named Holy Shit Batman, arrived. So, you know, nothing is foolproof, but those are the less invasive but accurate ways you can, you know, work with your bitch that you're looking to not stress out if you do want to avoid any potential side effects from the ultrasounds. And again, it's nice to do a puppy count, but how much knowledge do we really need? So unless they're huge, again, there's always a caveat. Working with golden retrievers who can have maternal high drops as well as bulldogs, you've got to weigh the risk to the reward.
Follow-up?
You absolutely can have a follow-up.
Okay, so the girl in that picture is, is our bitch, and I was present for the raising of that litter to help the breeder, because it's so much time and energy.
Oh, tell me about it.
And I did that with my first dog, and so that's kind of my philosophy is, if they'll accept my help, I will be a puppy slave. And so during that time, we had a lot of opportunity to just talk about life. And she is a huge advocate. The breeder of my girl is a huge advocate of using WhelpWise. And I don't know if that's something you're familiar with, but it seems like, again, a lot of potential EMF signal exposure. And I don't know if the WhelpWise is justified later to
Let me give you my two cents on WhelpWise, and please understand this is a personal opinion.
Of course.
I have used WhelpWise, and it was not effective. I know of other people who have used WhelpWise, and because of the equipment that they're using, which is human belts, which are designed to monitor one heartbeat, not multiples, the effectiveness of it is not as effective as I think it should be. I think that you are better off using the Avid Dog protocol of time. And has your dog produced a puppy? Has your dog, there is a definite iteration that you follow. I found that it causes more C-sections and that it missed problems. Now,
can you elaborate on the causation of C-section?
Yes. The inability of the belt that they're using to utilize how many puppies, contractions, and saying, oh my God, we're in a panic situation when we aren't in a panic situation. To cause the dog, to cause you to go in for a C-section.
Gotcha.
Now, I do know there are people who have used it successfully. I run an 18,000, actually it's 19,000 now, member group since 2013 on Facebook, and the statistics from that group and the use has shown me that it's a great idea, but there are more problems that it has caused. I would much rather you, I would suggest as a breeder to the people I mentor that they use the Avid Dog as a, you must at, here's what you're supposed to be seeing. You don't see a puppy within 90 minutes. You don't see, can you link up to that, Nicole? What it's in module 2, is it for the whelping for the list?
I will confirm that and put it in the chat. Okay. With a link.
But it's pretty specific. And it I think is, yeah. Following that makes a huge difference. And it doesn't mean you won't end up with a C-section, but it gives you steps that are very easy to do, doesn't expose your dog to anything. And I've been very successful using that,
right.
As has others using the A to Z program.
Thank you, Susan. Yeah.
And is that really downloadable helpful. As a PDF?
As a Good Dog breeder, actually, you have access to this whole program. And it's pretty cool. Nicole just posted it up. There's the whelping rules PDF.
Okay, excellent. It is PDF. Great.
Thank you.
I would strongly suggest as a Good Dog breeder that you take advantage of the A to Z program and you use the program. It is unbelievably wonderful. I've known Gail for a long time and I know the effort that she and her team, including Nicole, put into it. It's great.
Excellent.
Thank you much.
You're welcome. Safely alleviate stress.
A question up higher from Teresa.
Oh, go for it.
Let's see, where did it go? About how long after you spay your girl can she get back to regular activity? Teresa, are you on?
I am, yes. Hi.
Thank
you. Hey, Teresa.
Hi. So I got Esme spayed, so she's 7.5 and it's been 2 weeks. It all looks good. And I just want to be on the safe side that internally all that uterus tie-offs and everything
right.
is
so what shape. What does your veterinarian give you as an activity schedule?
Didn't really get one.
Okay. When do the stitches come out?
They're dissolvable.
Okay.
Yeah.
My girls, when I have spayed at 7 or 8 after they're done with their breeding program, I have usually waited about 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
Because my theory on that is better safe than sorry.
Yeah. I don't want.
And then I ease them back into it. Now, mind you, my dogs are very active and they're swimming and they're retrieving as, you know, Gordons and Labradors. So I want to make sure, because they have no off switch.
Yeah, they don't know when to back off.
They don't. That they do not stress tear anything.
Yeah.
So I would be conservative, and that's just based on my own spays over the years.
Okay. That sounds like good advice. That's kind of what I've been doing. She's been doing leash walks the last 2 days, 3 days with the group of dogs, but she's not allowed to run and slowly go up and down the stairs, but she's contained otherwise. Tried to keep her minimal from jumping, so.
Yeah,
because you can't see that internal stuff. And then if something happens, then you're waiting for either blood or infection, and then you're in a crisis.
They can bleed out internally, and you don't need that. So yeah. Better safe than sorry, absolutely.
Okay, and again, yeah, this isn't an active breed either as well. So, you know.
What breed is it, Teresa? I didn't even ask, I'm sorry.
Stabehoon. A Stabehoon.
Yeah, okay.
That would be the Netherlands.
That would be my very first. You know, I just saw, what are they? The tulip dogs from the Netherlands?
Is that the Kahookies?
No, the Quakers.
Quakers? Yeah, I say that.
No, this is a different breed that just passed across my judging thing for FCI. And it was like, oh, That tulip might be, dogs. Interesting.
That could be the Stabehoons too. There
could be.
Yeah, look them up and stuff. Yeah. So
I will.
But once I let her go, she's going to go full out because we live on a farm, and keeping her contained is hard. So,
yeah, well, you know, I would probably stick an Adaptyl collar on her and maybe a plug in nearby to kind of gentle her out before she gets full on. I'm going out.
Okay. Super. Thanks. I appreciate
you're welcome,
your help.
Teresa. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, what do we got? Stress. Is there anything before stress?
Just somebody had asked which stethoscope you recommend.
Oh, Jennifer did. I don't know the brand name, Jennifer. I am terribly sorry, but I would go to Google medical grade stethoscope or nursing stethoscope rather than just putting in stethoscope. That would be the one that I would look for. It's the one that I have. Actually, the stem parts are as thick as my fingers. It's not lightweight at all. It's a very heavy weight. And I swear I put it on my computer and I can hear my computer running. It's that sensitive. It's pretty cool. So.
Awesome. And then we have a question from Colleen about alleviating stress during transportation.
No. So, Colleen.
Hi. Hey, I breed golden retrievers.
One of my favorite breeds.
Very active ones. A lot of them go to search and rescue and field homes. So they're that side of the breed. Question about my girl. Since she was way small, she has always been stressed out by being in the car. Nothing we've ever done. Keep her covered, keep her uncovered. Try Adaptyl. We had Adaptyl spray. We had Adaptyl collars. We had Adaptyl. I have a plug in my car. So we had Adaptyl plug in. Nothing. We tried Benadryl. That didn't even help.
Have you tried Bonine?
Try what?
Bonine.
How do you spell that?
Bonine.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically an anti-nausea drug. One of my first Gordon setters was, she would drool, stress. And the Bonine seemed, she was never sick, but the Bonine seemed to relax her. I could give it to her about half an hour before. There are also, I think it's Nature Vet makes, it's called Stress Away.
Yeah, I've tried a bunch of the natural.
Okay. Well, just a suggestion. And the other thing, you know, I was talking to my vet the other day about the stress of doing that. And he said sometimes he has to go to gabapentin. So I would talk to your vet about alleviating stress through using a drug, a pharmaceutical, and maybe that could help her change her habit. If she went through enough times without being stressed, then you could cut back on the meds and she'd be okay.
She's a breeding bitch and she'll be coming back in mid-December, mid-January.
Yeah, I would definitely talk to the vet about it, because there are drugs that you don't want to use if she's going to, not when she's bred, but you know, you could use before, but you want to watch the, when she comes in the season's going to be bred, but
would Bonine be okay when she's been bred?
I don't know. Honestly do not know.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm looking for, is how, you know, we're constantly, I take her out every weekend. So she's in the car every weekend going to fun places. It's not
it
like
doesn't
I'm
matter
every weekend. I know. Whatever, and she's not drooling excessively, just the panting drip.
Yeah, but if you could get her past the hump, try the Bonine first.
Okay.
And see.
Where do I get it?
It's over the counter.
Okay.
I get it at CVS.
Okay. I will go
for people who get motion sick on boats.
I will go try that with her.
Yeah, that was what my vet suggested before we started the gabapentin. And so you'll laugh. I do have to use gabapentin on my cat, but I do not have to use it on my dog anymore. So we did successfully wean her through that.
Transition her. Yeah, because it's been, like I said, she's 6 and still every single time. And,
you know, sometimes
sitting back there feeding her, and she gets to a point where she doesn't want to eat. She doesn't want to, she just.
No, and sometimes it's just that dog. I wish it could be different, but sometimes is just that dog, and you get it.
Yeah, but her whole litter is fine, except for her. Every other one is, I mean, one gets up on snowmobiles every day, you know, that there's snow. It doesn't faze them in the least. She, for whatever reason.
As we know, every dog is an individual, and you have a special one.
Yes, she is very special. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care, Colleen.
Try those. And I'm always looking for a new thing. Looks like Fawn has a question.
Yes, Fawn has her hand up.
All right. So how about if we do this? Can you type in your question and we can start from there?
I think she did. Let me go back up and find it.
Okay.
It was higher up a little bit.
I must have missed it.
There it is. Question about managing nursing schedules to maximize increased milk production in a bitch with a large litter and not enough milk. Giving fenugreek, milk thistle, oatmeal from puppy food, 4 times maintenance diet, non-alcoholic beer and liquids, but not enough milk for all.
So it sounds like, you know, it says the host doesn't allow unmute. That's what Fawn said. But in the meantime, so large litter, I actually would probably, if you can't increase her milk supply through doing what you're doing, then I would probably go to supplementing the puppies. You know, look at the ones who are not gaining as rapidly, and I would supplement. And that's the hardest part. You are bottle feeding. Okay, so are you bottle feeding the entire litter or only the ones who aren't gaining, the smaller ones? I do every 2 hours for the first 2 weeks, and then I go to every 3 hours and every 4 hours at night. If she's not making enough food personally, then I would start offering food at 3 to 4 weeks. Without stopping her from nursing, but I would start offering food. That will help. Large litters are actually, for me, they're just as stressful as a small litter because you're constantly managing, especially if mom doesn't have a lot of milk. I split the groups, which makes for a lot of work. So let's say I've got 10 puppies, I do 2 groups of 5. And rotate out. And that seems to make a big difference. If I have 10 with 5, most bitches have 8 teeth. So I have enough to go around, and that makes a big help. Yeah, I do. It is every hour. It's a lot of work, a lot of work. And the good news is it's only 2 or 3 weeks. The bad news is it's 2 or 3 weeks. Brew a lot of coffee and make notes. Because if you don't make notes, you know, keep a whiteboard, who's been in, who's been out, keep either your marked collars or your marked puppies, however you ID your puppies, so that you're on a schedule. I know that if it weren't exactly the nursing log, that's perfect. You know, I would. Sleep deprivation is a real thing. I have accidentally done things sleep deprived that I wished I hadn't. So the nursing log keeps things straight, especially if you, for me, I tube feed rather than bottle feed, just because it's quicker. I can do 5 puppies in 10 minutes. Bottle feeding for me takes a long time. So that's great. Did I answer, seeing as you can't talk back, did I answer all your questions, Fawn? Do you have anything else? Stick it in the chat box. I'm sitting here staring at it. Drawbacks to tube feeding. Potentially, if you don't know how to do it, you can aspirate liquid. So I would suggest there's a couple of great videos. And I believe that Evan Dog has a tube feeding thing. I'm going to ask Nicole to toss it up in the chat box.
Will do.
But I'm a fan of tube feeding, and that's personal because I can not be as sleep deprived. I get that in the puppy. I get that done. We pee, we poop, and they're back. So for me, it's an efficiency question. Mind you, I have 5 children, so they were fed that way too. You're all done. So that's it. Colleen, I'm just going to jump in real quick. Had a quick question. I have used Bonine as if they were a person. So I dose them like a child. And for feeding tubes, just so you know, Fawn, I have used both the clear as well as I have used, they call them cat catheters. They're the French feeding tubes, which actually have 2 holes and a rounded tip. And they work really well. The red French is good, depending on your breed. For my large breeds. Oh, thank you. Nicole just did a whole bunch of stuff for the tube feeding. Measuring from your umbilical cord belly button to the mouth, that is critical to make sure you have the appropriate length, and measure every couple days because the length changes. That's really important. I think we've kind of got that for Fran. If you have any other questions, Fawn, stick them in the box and note what Nicole has put in the chat box. She put in some great links. Rhodesian Ridgebacks, they grow fast. So I would definitely be marking those feeding tubes every couple days. Let's see. Thanks, Priscilla. Yeah, kids, doesn't it make you a little efficient? I'm kind of like on the schedule. By the time the 5th one left, I think they put themselves through college. It was good. So
that's awesome.
Cindy, I think, is our next question.
Yes, Cindy's next.
Okay, stress-related nursing, hormonal mom. Stress, nervous barking. Yeah, basically, that's a really tough one. Because that is not at all calcium related. That is temperament, kind of feeling a little scared, a little threatened. I understand that it's really tough. Have you used the Adaptyl? Comes in a spray also, pheromone spray. Have you used the Adaptyl collar? Have you used the Adaptyl plug-in with her? Adaptyl, those pheromones are good. And I actually use the Adaptyl collar from the time they're bred to the time they have puppies. That's the 8 weeks. And then I take it off with a new one when they whelp for the next 8 weeks. And I, you know, you think, oh, this isn't going to make a big difference. But when I've skipped it, I've noticed a big difference. It just settles. It takes the edge off for my dogs. And that's, you know, that's the best I can, because you don't want to discipline her because she is protecting her puppies. So it's really tough. So good luck, Cindy. I wish I had a better answer. Anything else? You got any other questions, Cindy?
No, but would that Bonine work for her, the anti-nausea, seasickness?
You know, as an off-label use, if she's not nursing the puppies now?
No, she's a little bit of nursing. I'm just starting to wean because she has so many, she's sick of it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand that. I would not use it personally while she's good nursing.
Not when nursing, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I think we've gotten everything in the chat box right now. So let's see, Nicole has her hand up again. What do you got, Nicole?
We just put the question in the chat. It's kind of linked to the Adaptil stuff? It's have used diffusers.
So essential oil diffusers can be poisonous to dogs.
Ooh,
so okay. I am really, really, really cautious about essential oil diffusers. And I would definitely, if we don't have anything in Avid Dog, I will look to see if we can't put something into the Facebook group about essential oils.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of really good uses for essential oils, but there are oils that are definitely poisonous to the dogs, and you do not want to, just because it smells good to us doesn't mean it works well for them.
Right.
Well, like lavender, specific.
So I have used lavender as a topical personally, but I am very cautious with any oils. So let me see if I can't, are you in the Good Dog Facebook group? Let me see if I can't put something up there later today on essential oils.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Oh, Jennifer Schall. That's a great suggestion. She uses music and white noise. So I totally blew by my mind. I do that automatically. I also have grandchildren now. So I have the white noise on almost all the time for the dogs. And it does make a difference. It just kind of, they can tune things out. I will tell you, my music taste is pretty eclectic. So there are days where they might not like it, but they do like the ocean noise. So yeah, I would do the white noise. So think about that. Adaptil. When do I put the Adaptil collar on? Like the day after I've got her bred? That's it. It stays on till the puppies are born, because each Adaptil collar is about an 8-week use. Okay, if there's nothing else, I am going to do what I said I was going to do in the beginning, which is talk about emergency preparedness. Only because it hit home. I have a week old litter of puppies, and the storms, I live just outside of Boston, storms came through, 80 mile an hour winds. You don't want to look in my backyard right now. It's not pretty. Fortunately, we didn't lose power, but I'm thinking, what do I do? And in my Facebook group, we had come up with a wonderful list that starts with, how do we keep our puppies warm, if especially in the winter and we're cold? We have been using snuggle discs that, as we see things are coming up, we get them all charged and we put them in my favorite alternative use, Yeti coolers. Did you know you could use a Yeti cooler to keep your snuggle discs warm, and then they're still good for use? You can also keep boiling water in thermoses, and instead of using a snuggle disc, which you have to use electricity to heat, you can also use the good old fashioned where you pour the water in the pack and you turn the top and you've got a hot water pack, and you can use that for your puppies for warmth. And that becomes really important. We charge up flashlights. We have freezer packs, because if the power goes out and you're tube feeding and you've got formula, you're going to need to keep it cool. So we keep that, again, double use for your coolers, you know, a cold cooler and a warm cooler. Find that really does make a difference. Those are the things that, you know, we have used for easy transport. If we have to get out of the house, if we have to go to a hotel or somewhere like that, and baskets to take the puppies in. I've actually used a 55-gallon cooler again, because they stay warm. So I have a large van. I can put that in. We don't close the lid on the puppies though, but it does keep them nice and cozy. Mom doesn't get too upset. So those of you who live in places that do get hit with storms. Those are my suggestions. What do you guys have? What have you used? Anything? I think we're at an impasse here. You have any suggestions, Nicole?
I was just thinking when we went through the hurricane, what I did. We left.
Yeah.
Come around here. Something, grass or something for them to use the bathroom if they need to.
So if the puppies are older, I was thinking of old puppies. Yes, you could take a litter box. I do litter box all my puppies. And that does make a difference, litter box training. So you could take a bag of puppy litter. That would work in a boot tray. That works really well. So thinking of anything else. Let's
see. Other than a generator, I think.
Yeah, the like generator. A portable generator. Is a good idea. I am fortunate I have solar and I have battery backups.
That's
but
nice.
It is, but those are things that people need to think about. Let's see if I can find my list here. In the meantime, are there any other questions that anybody has or would like to talk about? We've got another 20 minutes.
There's somebody, James, in the comments, water and food handling for pups and bitch.
Yep, exactly. You want to take water from the house and food as well. Those are all good.
Oh, 2 adults, 5 dogs, 2 puppies, and 600 square feet. Diana.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
I get it. Oh, let's see. So I was going back on my list. The other thing that was suggested to me a long time ago, which is disaster preparedness, like you said, for the hurricane, is to keep 3-ring binders that you can take with you on your dogs. It has dog's name, microchip number. It has their age, birth date, any medications they're on. That makes a big difference because you can then, you know, take that with you. And if you have to go to the vet, you have everything there.
Yeah, absolutely.
OCD people like me keep their vet records in that. And I also scan it into my computer. So, you know, if I take my computer, I have everything with me, but if I have no power, I can't use my computer. So it's a catch 22.
True.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So water jugs, power loss, pressure, etc. That sounds good. Oh, Cindy had a quick question about the proper amount of food for 4 to 5 pound puppies when weaning. I'll go to that real quickly. So I start my puppies when I'm weaning on the same food that the mother has been being fed. And I may also do a little bit of Royal Canin mousse, which the puppies seem to think is puppy crack and they love it. The reason that I use the same food for the puppies as the bitch is that I'm not changing the protein. And the puppies they do well on it because their stomach isn't working on another protein source, another different food. So you're using the same food that mom has been eating, which has been going through the milk supply, and they're just getting it in a different form. And I also use probiotics in that food. And so for 4 to 5 pound puppies, I'm probably introducing them to about, when I introduce, about a quarter cup of food per feeding, and then I'll up it to a half a cup of food. And I want to see what they're eating, because I don't want them to eat so much that we have a problem. Oh, the wind has just picked up around here. I don't want to have them have so much food that they have a problem digesting, have a problem it impacting their gut, have a problem where sometimes they'll eat so much and they'll regurgitate it back up. And that's not fun either for you or for the puppy. So I'd rather start with a little bit. I do not, you know, automatically cut mom off and then start them on food. So it's a transition. And so what they don't get from me, they're getting from mom. So I think that ensures that you're doing well, that they'll tell you if they want more, believe me, you'll hear about it. Let's see, Nicole had a question about feeding raw with a calcium ratio. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that calcium ratio for puppies. If you feed raw and you're transitioning to a mince and you're making sure that what you're feeding is a mix that supplies their nutritional needs, that's important. Okay, I think we covered that. The ratio is good, Nicole, you were good. I read between the lines. Let's see, Molly has a question. Quick question on AIs. Doing TCIs in 6 years, she got her own stud. Actually, I think success rates with TCIs are significantly better than they were 6 years ago. As a matter of fact, there are papers showing that TCIs with frozen are actually higher success ratios than they use of surgical inseminations, which was very interesting to me. Mm. I just did in February, 8 weeks back from that. In December, I did a TCI with frozen on a maiden bitch, ended up with 6 puppies for my Gordon Setter, something I would never have done before. ReproVet said, we've come a long way since you did it last time, and I had 0 success the 2 times I did it. He said, I think we've got this. But what is critical with any TCIs is it is all about testing. It is progesterone testing. It is LH testing. It is finding that window, especially if it's frozen, you have 12 hours or less. So the window is critical.
I had had, when I started out in 2010, I did not have a stud dog, and it just made sense to me to do TCIs. It just seemed like, well, that's a really smart way to choose the exact dog that would be a great complement for my bitches. And it was so hit and miss.
That's really interesting. Now, were you using chilled semen?
Chilled semen. I did progesterone testing. Sometimes it was my ReproVet that was frustrating to work with. The timing for her, I had to drive to her an hour and a half, and you know, she had young kids that were playing soccer, and she didn't want to come in on a Saturday. And
it's tough. Those are exactly the same. I've been doing not TCIs, but my own AIs for about 35 years. And I taught my old vet when I lived in Atlanta how to do AIs because he'd never done them. But I came from a horse world and they were doing AIs all the time. Mm-hmm. So that meant a big difference. But I've always been OCD with testing, whether it was progesterone. But before that, I was always doing the vaginal cytology. So I was super, super on. And if I was using chilled, I would do it 3 times rather than just twice. So I have very seldom missed, but mm-hmm. TCI with frozen was a new, I crossed my fingers, and fortunately we had 6 puppies. So it was good.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, because there is a breeder that I really like using her dogs. She's very far from me. And, you know, when you, the FedEx now feels a little uncertain that you can get things. I mean, you know, you pay a lot of money for the guarantee, but, and then we've just had weather, you know, when we get into the winter months and living in Kansas, it's, yeah, things happen. And it,
they do.
I hate going backwards, but I don't have, I've got
to hang in there. Keep testing. Right. The other thing I personally do, and I find it makes a difference. All my dogs are on B vitamins. I found my conception weight went up by keeping them on the B vitamins. I can only tell you my experience. I know when I talked to Dr. Bramlage and I talked to Marty Greer at Revival, they recommend B strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I won't say it's a miracle because, you know, your dog needs to be healthy in the beginning. But I do think it has made enough of a slight difference for me that it's something that I do. So,
well, my vet, my, not my Reaper vet, but my general vet at one point said, I just think your dogs want to do it naturally. And I remember feeling really mad at him about that. I really did feel mad.
Yeah.
But as time went on and I got my own stud and I had been tremendous success, it was like, okay.
I will tell you that there, I have a girl who's allergic to extender. She would never get pregnant unless it was a natural breeding. I do think that by eliminating natural breedings, I would prefer a natural breeding. Mm-hmm. But if the dog I want is overseas or is dead, that is problematic. So, you know, I go to the next best thing. But, you know, I do think personally, we get a better, higher litter ratio. We get, there is something to be said about doing a natural breeding. And that's, you know, that's an old breeder opinion. So.
Well, I even had written down about extender because that when there were times when it didn't take and we were just dumbfounded that the numbers were right. Yep. It should have happened. Bitch is healthy. You know, what's going on? And then later with natural,
right,
did produce,
yeah,
nice, healthy, large litters.
Yeah.
Wondered about the extender, but I don't feel like I was ever in it long enough to know that there was an extender that was.
Well, there is. I best. Just like anything else, I think every dog has a different system and every person. So just because I'm allergic to, you know, gluten doesn't mean everybody is. And so I simply discovered that this was an extender issue because I said, I'm done. You know my numbers are correct. I know I've spent all this money on testing. It's got to be something else. And the only thing that I could find was the extender. And we did a natural breeding the next time. She had 13 puppies. So, you know, we do that. So,
yeah, right. But
thanks for your question. I'm going to move on because I got a couple more and we've only got 10 more minutes here. So let's see. I'm thinking Fawn asked about overfeeding. My experience is most puppies, I do 1 cc per ounce of weight when I supplement. And that's my guideline. If you think you're over supplementing, you can go to 0.75 cc's per ounce of weight. That guideline works for me. If it's a bottle, they'll turn it away. They will not over nurse. If you're tube feeding, that's where it's a little more critical. Let's see. Hopefully I answered that. If not, you can put something in the chat box. Let's see, feeding bitch raw and kibble in a guardian home. Priscilla, can you unmute Priscilla so I can answer her question? It's a little confused.
Can you hear us, Priscilla?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead. So the food that she feeds her current dog and what she'd like to feed the dog I'm placing with her is it's called a raw kibble. So I think what makes me nervous about it is that it uses like lentils for a protein, but I just want to make sure, I didn't know if you had any ideas of something that's like, that is a raw, that's balanced enough for breeding dogs. I like to let my guardian homes make their own choices to some extent, but also I don't want to impair her fertility or her hormones as she goes through puberty and things like that.
I'm very cautious of phytoestrogens.
Mm-hmm.
Not every dog is sensitive to them, but that's always a caution to me. And so when you say lentils and beans and things, that raises my suspicion. And I also know for a fact that our breeding girls need more carbohydrates. So that puts me more to a Purina Pro Plan kibble dressed with raw is my personal choice.
Are you saying you'd put raw on top of it?
Yep.
Kind of. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And which is kind of what I was telling her. Maybe we do half and half since she likes the raw, you know, she's into nutrition for humans. She's a chiropractor. So.
Right. Well, I would actually, do we have something on feeding pregnant bitches and avid dog that we could link to her and help her with?
Sure.
Because the carbohydrates are really concerning to me. That they're included and that you watch for that. And as a nutritionist, she might really like this.
Okay.
So then Fawn had asked about the hocus pocus of raw, feeding raw with kibble due to the pH of stomach. As a 40-year breeder, I've fed them together. I have never had a problem. I will tell you, maybe someone has, but I've not had that issue. So I'm just telling you because I've done it with top dressing. It isn't like I've gone pure raw and then, you know, kibble one day. I also work with a handler who shows most of my dogs, Julie Romeo, and she does combo, same thing, has been doing it for 30 years. So this is my experience, and that's, you know, what I can tell you. And I do like raw. So that's the scoop. Be Strong, which I had just said, is not available in a bricks and mortar store. It is available, I believe, exclusively from Revival. You can contact them. Let's see. We have another question. Have any of you used or been paid to be a whelping assistant? Actually, I have. I have not used one, but I have been one. If that's any. I have whelped litters for other people. Diana Dixon, where'd that question go? Colleen Phillips asked, yeah. Where the bitch, I request that the bitch comes to me 2 weeks before she's due. I want her to settle in. And then my experiences have been that either I want to keep them for the first 2 weeks or the first 4 weeks. 2 weeks to me is a good settle time. We find out if there's any problems with the puppies, we're not disrupting. And at 2 weeks, the moms are just at that change, and that has been good for them to go back to their home. And then I've raised them full up, sold the puppies, we split the litter, that was it. So I've done it a variety of ways.
So that's kind of my question, because someone has asked me if I would do it for them. And basically they have male dogs in the house. So basically from the time she comes into the heat until it sounds like the puppy goes home.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Do not undervalue what you do. I will tell you that. Do not undervalue. If I were to do that, I would be willing to do it for somebody and split the litter
cost. So basically it's just, you know, split 50-50.
Yep.
And does the owner take the expenses?
The owner should. That's okay. Again, this is how I do it.
Yeah, it's that's the owner's expenses.
I, you know, here's your expenses. Oops. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And it is, I'm providing the support for right. The rest of it.
Yeah, he just loved the way my litters are turning out as far as dogs.
There's definitely a good protocol to doing that. And if you're doing it, you're doing something right, so.
Yeah, and he just went, you know, I really want to breed this bitch, but I can't do that whole
thing. And it's tough. You know, this is, I've got two litters basically coming back to back. This is my life for the next 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Nothing else, unless I can sit in front of a computer and I've got my husband with the puppies. Otherwise, my life is these puppies. So that's it.
And I don't really think he's realized yet. We're still, this just came up last weekend, so it's in the cloud.
So I will also tell you, put everything in writing.
Yes.
I am a big believer that the best of friends are even better when their agreement is in writing.
Are very
and make it work for you. What works between you and I may not work between Nicole and I. Make it work for you.
Right.
And then everybody's happy.
Right. Yeah, so. I don't think he realizes that's 16 weeks minimum that his bitch is not available to him.
Right.
Because once I've bred a bitch, they do not go out to where other dogs are. That's just period. I just won't do it.
Yeah. No, and those are your rules. Yep. So we've got one more minute according to my timer here. And I wanted to make sure if anybody had any last urgent questions. And I just wanted to tell everybody how much you're being breeders and you're trusting me with your stories, your questions, and my ability to help and transmit my 40 years of agony and joy in breeding has meant to me with the breeder to breeder calls, that it has been a privilege to be part of this with all of you guys. I think we're at a wrap up, Nicole. We got it, 3:30.
Oh, yep. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. What do we got for 12 new messages here all of a sudden?
Everyone's saying thank you. And we will see you guys in the Facebook group.
Yes, and the Facebook group, I'm going to be looking for the oils. And I think that's it.
And then this call will be up probably tomorrow afternoon for the recording for everyone to watch.
Thanks, awesome. Everybody. Have a great Halloween from me in Salem, where everybody's a witch, whether we want to be or not. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.